This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all I do.
Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for the opportunity once again to hear from you. Open unto us the scriptures, and more especially as we yield ourselves to you, speak to us. Help us to know what it is you desire us to know, that we might do what it is you desire us to do, so you might receive the glory. And we the good, in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to be walking through this first chapter, so I just want to lift out the verse from 13 from this first chapter, and then we'll focus on the others. Verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. There are many things that Paul is sharing with the church of Ephesus and with the believers today. So important for us to catch the meaning and understanding of what is going on in these verses. He starts off describing how God, in his wonder and his amazement, in his splendor and his power, thought of everything that could be and would be thought about, made his selection as to who he would focus his love upon, provided for us everything that we would have need of, both before and even after our salvation. Even before the world was ever created, he had already demonstrated how much he loved us and put in place a plan that would be operable when we messed up and came into existence and knew that we were no afterthought of God, but had been predestined. God had predesigned, God had already pre-planned, and God had already provided the things that he would do through his son, who poured out his blood, his life, as a sacrifice for us, willing to do so, ready to do so, able to do so. And Paul walks through all of this, and he talks about these things. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. There are just some things as Paul began to reveal to us what God has revealed to him, that God has got this thing fixed. And that he himself wanted us to know again, assuredly, that he had been thinking about us before that wasn't us. And how, notice the word riches and great riches and abundance and all of these words that perhaps describe his wonderful love and marvelous grace toward us. Verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. God has a plan, and that plan is so that we might be restored and redeemed in him, so that we might have all of the wonderful things he originally planned for us. And even after missing it, that's one of the things that I love about the Lord. You know, when somebody really wants you to have something, they don't look for excuses not to give it to you. When they really want you to have, in spite of you, they'll do it anyhow. God loved us so much that in spite of our mess ups and our mistakes and our deliberate doings, he still wanted us to have his best. So he provided even for those things that we would do, not by mistake, not by chance, but on purpose. His love was that rich toward us. His grace was that rich toward us, that he wanted us to know that's the kind of love that he has for us. Then he says again in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God was so sure about it that he didn't talk to nobody about that but himself. Those who were of the Godhead. He didn't give us opportunity to mess up things anymore. He made up his mind, and after he made up his mind, he put the plan in action. Look again, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13 is where I wanted us to get to, because here is where our subject is, because it talks about in whom ye also trusted. Talking about Jesus Christ. After that, now I want you to hold on to this phrase, because what we're talking about is the after that experience. There's so many things that we experience that God wants us to, or we desire to, will only come to fruition until only when we do the things that God has assigned for us to do first. Look at the scripture again. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now let's walk back through this, because the after that experience is so important for us to realize there are just some things God is not going to do until after we've done our part. If you go back to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, God says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. When does the pardon come? After that we have done everything. The healing of our land, when does that come? After we have done our part. Why is it understood that God puts everything in place? Then will I hear from heaven. That's procedure. Why is that in place? Because God does all things decently and in order. And there are just some things that aren't going to happen for you until after that, that he's ordered and ordained for you to do has been done. So many times we say, well, Lord, I'm waiting on you. God says, no, you're not waiting on me. Have you done what I've told you to do yet? Well, I will show up after that. you've done what I've assigned unto your hands. Many of you waiting on blessings, on breakthrough, on healings, on deliverances, on blessings, on promises, on promotions, on so many wonderful things. But you're missing this phrase, after that, in your life. Because with everything God gives, there is a procedure, there is a protocol, there is an order, and God has ordained it, and he honors his own word, and he holds himself responsible, accountable, and warranted to those things that he has placed in order. So know this, is God really the one who's holding your breakthrough back, or is it you? Is God really the one holding your healing back, or is it you? Is it God who's holding back the things you really desire, or is it you? Because I can share with you, my brothers and sisters, there are things he's already told us to do that you already know he's told you to do. The question is, have you done them? There are some things he's told you not to do. You already know he told you not to do. He don't have to come tell you again today. But it's after that that he is then at liberty to dispensationally allow those things to flow into our lives that he has promised us. And even it comes with revelation and with knowledge and with wisdom. There are some things you're going to have to do first in order for God to do what he has promised he's going to do. So look again at these scriptures in that light. I want you to see something again. This phrase, after that. In many areas of the word of God, you're going to see the blessings and the breakthroughs and the bounty and the benefit comes after folk have done what they're supposed to do. In this verse, it says, trusting came after hearing. You see, the reason why a whole lot of us can't trust God is because we don't hear God. And you hear him by the word of God. And when you hear his word, it then stirs up your spirit and your faith. Now, you've got to make the decision whether or not you trust what you've heard. So, trusting comes after hearing. That's why you've got to be able to hear God to be able to trust God. There are some areas in your life you aren't able to trust God because you've not heard God. You've not heard his word. You don't know what he said to do. You don't know how he said to do it. So, trusting comes after hearing. Have you heard from the Lord? See, there are some things that God wants to do. God gives you a go-ahead sign. God says, it's time. He tells you it's your season. He tells you the windows are open, the blessings are coming. See, all of this comes and you can trust him only after you hear from him. I want you to see something else. Just write these down and you can go back and check these out and I'm going to come back to the word that we're dealing with. But Leviticus 14:8 says, communion comes after cleansing. You won't have communion with God? God says you're going to have to get yourself cleaned up. You can't commune with me and you are not cleansed. So Leviticus 14:8 says communion comes after cleansing. But Genesis 13:14 says revelation comes after separation. See, there are just some things God's not going to let you know, give you the understanding of till you learn how to let some of this worldly stuff go. You're going to have to separate yourself from some people and from some things and from some sources to be connected to God so that you can hear from God. As long as you think the news sources is your true source of news, or whoever he or she may be that gives you all the latest news, or this person is whom you, the one in whom you trust, then God is never going to give you the real revelation you desire till you separate yourself from those who appear to be in a place that only God can be. So separation comes and then revelation is revealed after you have done what you're supposed to do. Separation comes first, revelation comes next. Numbers 8, verse 15 and 22 says, service comes after consecration. You want to be used of the Lord? You want to be used greater of the Lord? You really want to get closer to God? You really want to serve him the way God wants you to serve him? That comes after you've consecrated yourself. You've set yourself apart.
you have made yourself ceremonially clean, that this life, this mind, this body belongs to the Lord for the service of the Lord. You are then able to be consecrated for the service God wants you to. He's not going to use you just because you want to be used. Everybody who's truly used of the Lord to any real substance or any real degree has first consecrated themselves, set themselves apart, and gone through what is necessary to cleanse their heart and their minds and themselves so that they can be used of God for God's glory. This ain't no show, no fame, no entertainment. Somebody sings, well, they're anointed. God has given them that gift, but they've consecrated themselves. And that anointing is upon that singing, and you won't sing too just because you can sing. And you might sound prettier than them, might have lovelier notes and sounds coming out of your mouth, but touching nobody because you have not been consecrated. I mean, I can walk all the way through church in every position, post, and place that we serve in. Those who have consecrated themselves for the service first are the ones God used the greatest in that service. All of us, my brothers and sisters, we have our shortcomings, our faults, our mistakes, etc. But when we know that, it'll make us all the more willing to consecrate ourselves. Since we last left this church, last week, some in the middle of the week, we've missed it. We've fallen short. We've said some things we shouldn't have said, done some things we shouldn't have done, hung out with folk we shouldn't have hung out or been around. We were supposed to be absent from all the appearance of sin and all that. We were all in all of those mixes and everything. We've done some things that have made us unworthy to be in his presence without first being consecrated. So one of the reasons why in the story of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, how those who had been prepared for service had gone through the ceremonial ritual of cleansing themselves to serve in the temple. And one of the things that you got to realize is because of the number of priests and Levites, the numbers were so great, many of them only got to serve in the temple twice a year. And so they took serious their service, and they knew that once they had ceremonially become cleansed for service, they couldn't touch anything that was unclean. And the man who had been beaten and bruised and left there to die, they weighed out, listen, I'm consecrated, I'm set aside and set aside for the service in the temple of God. If I touch this man who is bleeding, who is unclean ceremonially, then it makes me unfit and unworthy before God to do that. So listen at this. They took their consecration so seriously that they went in the law more than they went in grace. And their law said they could not touch anything unclean because they had consecrated themselves and was now ready for service. And on their way from the place of cleansing to the temple, they touched nothing or nobody and went in and did their service. But Jesus said, and that's what we've got to understand, what he had come to bring was to fulfill the law and to bring a fullness that the law could not bring. And so it was in Jesus highlighting and spotlighting this man who took care of this man with all that he was able to and put him up and told the innkeeper, if there's any more that he owes other than what I prepaid, when I come back through, I'll take care of it. Jesus wanted us to understand that we've got to learn how to utilize his word for his glory and for our good. Consecrated for service must be a serious thing, so much so that we don't take it lightly. But the real service that the Lord wants us to do is the kind that mimics Jesus Christ and not just ceremonially. See, a whole lot of us are more consecrated about doing church service than we are doing Christ service. And he don't want you so ceremonially consecrated that all you can do is church work and not do the work of the church. But listen at this, because he goes on, and even in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it tells you the power comes on you after the Holy Ghost has come. And so you got to understand that that after that plays an important role in so many areas of our lives. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13 through 17 says, thanksgiving comes after the blessings. And so that says to me that if you've been blessed, you ought to be able to give some thanksgiving. Because the only reason thanksgiving comes into play is after you have recognized and identified the blessings. And if God has been good to you, you don't have a right not to give him thanks. Lord, that was a pause right there for you to give him a little thanks. You see, one of the things that we realize and recognize is, my brothers and sisters, is that God has a structure and an order. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, glory comes to us after suffering. After suffering. You see, God really proves who you are, shows who you are, brings out who you are, and glory is brought to you only after you suffer. After you suffer. Many of us have got this thing twisted. We want glory just because of who we are. And this kind of glory only comes after you have suffered for Christ. Christ suffered for you, but there is a suffering that you must do for him. It is a part of your salvific experience. It is that place in which you say, Lord, my life is no longer my life. I give it to you. I surrender it to you. And so as a result of that, I do what you desire me to do. You say it and I do it, because this life belongs to you. And because it belongs to you, you told me if they hated you, they're going to hate me. If they did you wrong, they're going to do me wrong. If they turn their back on you, they're going to turn their back. Everything you experienced and suffered as it related to our salvation, those of us who are saved will experience much of the same. But know this, that the story doesn't end in the gloom. It ends in the glory. And it is only after we suffer does God reveal his glory in us. Man, you know, when you look at Job, everybody want to be like Job, but nobody want to suffer to get his glory. Ooh, Lord, give me the patience of Job. Really? Because you're going to have to go through something to get Job's patience. Now, you're going to get the glory like Job, because God blessed him twice as much at the end, but he had to lose everything he had through his suffering in order to get this greater glory. See, our problem is we want the greater, but we don't want to give up what we got to get it. And so you can't get the greater glory till you've learned to suffer. And suffering may mean losing and letting go and giving up what you've already got in place. You can't go to higher heights holding on to the lower levels. I know you're comfortable. I know you know this place. I know you got this part handled and you can handle this. But if you want to go higher, you're going to have to let go of your comfort zone. You're going to have to let go of that place that you're familiar with. These demons you understand. Yeah, I know that's better up there, but at least I know these devils here. I'm used to them. New devils on new levels. I'm going to hang out with these right here a little while longer, because I'm not ready to let go to go higher. And I need you to understand, to whom much is given, much is required. If God gives you a greater assignment, there's going to be a greater abundance connected with that assignment. Yes, there are going to be greater rewards, but there's going to be more suffering. It's going to take you more. It's going to cost you more. You're going to have to do more. But in the end, you're going to get more. And everybody wants to shout about heaven, but you got to go through hell to get there. You got to die and leave here in order to be there. And so everybody talking about heaven ain't ready to go. Touch your neighbor and say, you ready to go? You see what I'm saying right now? Did they answer you? They just ask you a question. Are you ready to go? They ain't say, yes, I'm ready to go. I like the way Paul put it. Paul said, you know what? I'm ready. Brother Alvin, I'm ready. He said, but I've asked the Lord to delay my departure till I help y'all get it together. And just as soon as I see y'all are where y'all ought to be, then I'm going to check on out of this place. But I ain't leaving here till I see y'all get it together. Man, it's a wonder he ain't still here. There are just some things we will never experience until the after that experience has happened to us. At certain maturity levels, you'll never reach until you have gone through some things. Certain things you'll never develop into, be refined into, till you've gone through some stuff. And so he makes this so clear to the believers. And he wants us to understand that in every area of your life, there's going to be an after that experience. After that. In the secular world, it works the same way. After that. Matter of fact, you go and, you know, qualify for a job, meet all the criteria, etc. Sit down and negotiate everything and say, listen here, I'd like to get my yearly salary before I work. And if they don't end the interview and tell you you don't have the job, they'll say, tell you what, you'll get that after that you have worked your job. They ain't gonna give you no stuff before. There are things in place. And many of us miss God because we don't understand. He does not operate until things are done decently and in order. This word today, God, I believe, is trying to get us to look into our own minds, look into our own hearts, look into our own souls, and see where we have missed God at, and put the cart before the horse. To look and see where we've asked God to do his part before we've done our part. To see where we want God to do the blessing before we've carried the burden. To see where we want God to do as he has promised before we have performed our part. And his spirit will remind us that he does all things decently. And it is yours, but it's only going to be released when you've done your part. There are things even in our personal experiences that God has already given to us. We know it. They've been assigned to us. No doubt about it. We have what he says we have. But it's not been dispensationally released because we're not in place and we've not fulfilled what he's called us to do. Now, why is that important to us for this day and for this time? Because time is running out. Jesus is on his way back. And there are some things that he's reserved for this side of glory that won't be available on the other side of glory. There are some things he's decided and desired and designed for you to receive on this side. Be blessed and be a blessing with on this side. And when you get to the other side, it won't be no need. It will have expired over here. And many of us will have missed out on that because we did not understand that God desired us to do our part, and he never made it greater than what we could handle. But only after we did our part would he be under warrant to back up everything he said. I've shared this little illustration many times with you before, but it bears repeating again as it relates to not utilizing our best. And a man who loved the Lord with all his heart, and he lived for the Lord, and he did for the Lord. He heard the word, he sat in Sunday school, was taught the word, Bible study, taught the word. But when it came to his blessings, he didn't know how to access the word and get what was his. God gave him the knowledge. God gave him the wisdom, but he did not do what he was supposed to do to get the blessing in his life. He thought God would simply do it because he was good.